Special City Council Meeting, February 13, 2013.
Well, it's 5:30, and we don't want to prolong this, so we'll call the meeting to order. And Linda, would you take a roll call, please?
Council President Cardoza. Councilmember Hoyland.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. And the only item this we have tonight is the approval of the settlement agreement with KeyBank and the LID Local Improvement District appellants resolving the LID appeal. So, Richard, would you lead us through this, please?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you is a settlement agreement and three exhibits proposed for consideration tonight is approval of the settlement agreement and authorization by resolution for the mayor to sign that agreement. I can advise you that the appellants, I'm informed, have by and through their attorney, have signed off this afternoon. KeyBank has previously signed off on the agreement. This agreement is 24 pages long, so instead of just reiterating what it contains in there, I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, any questions? You've all had copies of it, had a chance to review it. If there are no questions, then we'd entertain a motion to approve.
I have some.
Okay. Question?
How does the one we received today differ from the one that we received Sunday night?
There were just minor changes. Frederick does not have an E in his name. Frederick, it's Frederick. That was changed. There were just a couple of minor insignificant changes of a couple of numbers and those type of things. So nothing major at all.
So on June 23rd, 2010, there was a tort claim by KeyBank?
Correct.
Okay.
Mayor, maybe just a quick review of the highlights. What I gathered from this and what we discussed in previous meetings is the total city obligation is the $200,000 per year for 10 years or about $2 million. Is that the way it adds up?
Yes.
Plus interest? And
not interest. That's $200,000 a year for 10 years. That is inclusive of interest, so there's not interest added on to that.
And 4,000-ish EDUs we don't have control of, the KeyBank does, which when it comes time to sell those EDUs, those are sold first, and the value of those are 3,000 and change, and another 1,100 and change would come to us at permit time. Have I got this close to being right? Am I?
In approximate numbers, yes. The bank will have its EDUs, which will, the bank, if they sell those, one of the things that was discussed was on a bulk sale, rights being retained by that purchaser beyond that first transaction, that's now gone. When we sell or KeyBank sells their EDUs, the agreement, when they sell the last one, their agreement is done, and then we can start selling ours again. So conceivably that could happen much more quicker than we had previously anticipated.
And from the litigants' perspective, the other major party here, they have all liens removed from their property as a result of this. That's what I understand when I read this.
That's correct, yes.
The part that I wasn't quite sure on is the status of the non-litigants.
The non-appellants, what we've had to do just because of the numbers and a number of reasons with a statute and validation is we're going to have to process those through the statute, which means that by March 10th, notice has to go out, giving them, again, second notice. We've already previously notified them. By April 10th, they need to redeem that property on that delinquency certificate, which means they need to pay the amount due and owing. large majority of those EDUs are possessed by financial institutions. And I'm working diligently on trying to get that all sorted out for the noticing issues. And what will happen then is on March 11th, the bank will step in and buy those delinquency certificates at the value by tendering a check to the city. Then we turn around and pay that back immediately to the bank. And then we quiet title in those properties so they can get insurable title and then sell those properties to satisfy that lien amount.
So the non-appellants then are potentially about to lose their property? Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct.
And how many of those? You said most of that's banks. How many of that is real people like you and I?
If you'll look at Exhibit B.
What page would that be?
It will be at the back of your document. Brenda, did they get Exhibit B?
We don't appear to have exhibits.
We didn't get any exhibits.
Okay. Exhibit B represents a total of 1,246 EDUs are non-appellants. There are, let's see, I'll just go through this. The ones we're working on that I think will pay off, I won't discuss at this point. Trail Bridge in Hopkins is 466 EDUs approximately. There's two individuals out of California as investors. There is one local person that has nine EDUs, and then there's Idaho Mutual. There's another individual who's from northern Idaho who bought at a tax sale. A bank owns one of them that was purchased subsequent to the bank owning it that I've been in contact with that individual to pay off. And then a large one is, I believe, going to be paid off here in the next week or so. And then the final property is another investor that's out of Nevada.
So everybody's either banks or investors out of the local area except for the one that has nine EDUs. That's the only
There's one person that lives in CUNA that has nine EDUs.
Is he looks like he's going to try and make good on this?
I've been in contact with him. He has a mortgage on the property. He's been on that property for 20-some years. A developer came in and was going to purchase the property. And before the developer was going to purchase the property, he wanted the sewer connections available. So the person went through the LID process, and then the developer backed out. He has been in contact with an attorney about possible litigation, but hasn't done anything. I indicated that probably what he needs to do is contact his mortgage company and find out if they'll do a second on that so he can pay off the assessment and then roll that into the property and just continue to pay that.
Not that we don't care about investors or especially out-of-state investors, but they went into it under the premise it was an investment versus many of our locals.
Right.
Most of them were the litigants. You know, many of them didn't understand what was happening to them.
Right.
Yeah, we've been in contact with all of them. And we've been giving him some advice. So nobody that's left on that thing hasn't had proper advice as to how to save their property.
Okay, that's all I have there.
There is a noticing that we're going to be doing and trying to work with them. But I do anticipate a fair number of these should pay off between now and April 10th. The one that I mentioned, Trail Bridge in Hopkins, is probably the one that's going to be hanging out there for a number of reasons. It's south of town. It's expensive to develop. And the person that holds the note on, there's two notes on that, is a substantial amount of money. I think it's upwards of $3 million in the mortgage. So.
Okay. Further questions?
I have some. Richard, on page 16 of the settlement,
I
I think it's number 80. The city of CUNA is required to ensure that title insurance can be obtained. In number 79, does that imply that Key Bank will be responsible for necessary cost of such quiet title actions?
Yes.
Okay.
The statute provides that they will pay for those costs.
Okay, and then on 82, LID property for which the city of CUNA has acquired possession as soon as practical, it shall proceed to sell such property pursuant to Idaho code. Where does that money go to? Does it stay within the city or does it go to the bank?
It goes back to the bank.
Goes to the bank, okay. The other thing that I really, really contest in this is the article that gives the bank authority to go after bond counsel. I really think the city of CUNA should maintain the authority for bond counsel and try to recoup the $2 million from bond counsel, as some of the problems we've obtained, I think, was because of the lack of guidance from the bond counsel that we gave approximately $600,000 to. If you read in here, it looks like Key Bank wants...
That'd be number 55.
They want any other terms, well...
Right.
Actually, 54 even goes into that.
Yeah,
they're actually trying to get ICRIMP. They're trying to get Randall Grove, Linda Burgess, bond counsel. It goes on almost indefinitely there. Before giving that much power and retribution back to Key Bank, I would sincerely hope that we have some measures against bond counsel for allowing us to get to where we are.
Yeah, I
believe it was their guidance that we should have been under.
Right. And I believe we paid bond counsel approximately $40,000 for the representation. Obviously, it's my opinion that they stepped in as the attorneys to handle this, and part of the reason we're here today is because of that representation. I can say this, bond counsel has an attorney on board. Key Bank's attempting to negotiate a settlement with them. Key Bank, and I tend to agree, has analyzed the cost of going into litigation, and I'm not sure this council would want to spend a couple hundred thousand dollars. I think they estimated about a quarter of $1 million plus to get into that litigation with the potential of no recovery. So Key Bank wanted to reserve that right. I didn't think that we wanted to take the lead on that with that, spending that money, and that's why we worked it out this way. But they were insistent upon having those terms in there. Quite frankly, they're going to have to take a cost analysis and determine if it's worth going forward. The ICRIM claim stands, in my opinion, on much weaker ground. That would require that they show that we were neglectful in one of our duties. Again, there's no statutory requirement if it comes down to the notice issue that we do anything other than we did. Again, bond counsel was overseeing all this, and there may be some different theories of recovery, but in weighing that and the actual cost of getting into that litigation against bond counsel, it's either going to settle once we get this wrapped up, and or it's going to go to litigation. If it goes to litigation again, I think it would be very, very expensive to go forward with that. So that's how it's worded.
Well, considering we promised the citizens there would be no cost to them, in essence, it's a $2 million cost that I'm not sure we couldn't have gone after bond counsel to try to get that through their bonding. So I have mixed emotions about giving that much authority to Key Bank. So, And I guess I'm a little confused on the, how many Osprey Ridge EDUs at 545.
Osprey Ridge, that's just what was named in there. That includes more than Osprey Ridge. Those are third-party, non-LID, previously paid EDUs, which include, again, the Osprey Ridge.
So you've lumped them all under Osprey?
We have.
Because I didn't think they had 545,000.
They do not have that.
Okay, the other thing that I took issue to is on page 8, number 32. T-Bank is asking for 6.25% annual. In this day and age, I would have thought 4% would have been sufficient.
Actually, what they're getting is $200,000 per year for 10 years.
Right.
Without, there's no interest. Inclusive of interest, so that includes any interest. We put that in there kind of as a bookmarker, because we have the option, if we want to buy it back. That's in paragraph 34, excuse me, at the 6.25% discount. So if we want to buy that amount back at some later date, we can discount it 6.25%.
And I think there was a prepaid penalty on 34. Yeah.
There is no prepayment penalty.
We have a buyback, no prepayment of penalty or interest.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. On page 15, number 77, KeyBank agrees that KeyBank may, at its complete discretion on or before April 10th, purchase some or all of the delinquent certificates. Would they be buying those at the current price of $32,000 or $3,200?
No, they would be buying. Those are the delinquency certificates that represent the face value, which is the $32,375 plus penalties and interest up until April 10th. KeyBank is likely going to go in, and now that amount that's due is called the delinquency certificate. Okay. And so KeyBank is likely going to purchase all of those on April 11th, 10th or 11th, and that then facilitates part of the process, because what John Marsh will do on that date, will issue treasurer's deeds for those delinquency certificates. The holder of those delinquency certificates then is the owner of the property, and then we'll commence the quiet title action after that to get marketable title with the title insurance.
Do you have a figure of what the city is, other than the $200,000, what the settlement would be on the total package that KeyBank is getting of a $26 million plant?
I believe in rough numbers it was about $5 million. I don't know what, you know, they now possess some EDUs, assuming they sell those at face value at the $32,375. It's going to depend on a number of things. Their carrying costs, marketing costs. It would be just speculation to be able to finally say what it is. But essentially, the city's obligation is roughly $5 million that we got the plant for. And the bank's original, well, their costs now are probably exceed $30 million with interest and attorney fees and everything else.
Okay. Page 19, number 109. Is that to our benefit to have that the wave of a jury resolve in any dispute? Is that to our advantage or the bank's advantage, or is it a mutual?
It's a mutual. I don't think that it goes one way or the other due to potential complexities in the litigation. of it. It probably makes sense to waive a jury trial and just try the contract issue.
Once we sign this, we waive all rights, and the bank waives all rights against the city, correct?
That's correct.
So there should be no use for Section 109. I guess my question is...
That would be a dispute in, as to, if there's a dispute as to the contract itself, the settlement agreement or something subsequent.
Right. Are we going to be drawn into any litigation by the non-parties?
Non-appellants?
Yeah.
The non-appellants?
Well, don't they call them non-parties in part of this, if I remember right?
What they would have is some type of standing redress against the city. The reason and the distinction is the appellants appealed the ordinance 2010-3 within 30 days. That was the lien ordinance, and that's why they've been able to proceed. At this point in time, I don't know what theory a non-appellant, non-party to this would assert to try to sue the city. I mean, they signed up for the LID, they had the assessments, they were given notice. The assessment was recorded against their property, and they didn't pay it. And then, you know, it proceeds statutorily, and we are in the process now of giving them that notice that we're required to give them.
Okay. The last question, I think, if I may, Mayor, is the ability of them to go after bond counsel, to go after our city attorney at that time, and Linda Burgess, if we give them the authority to go after that, since they were employees of the city, are we going to end up with some kind of retribution back to KeyBank if they seek reimbursement from our previous attorney and our previous city clerk and whatnot?
When you say retribution, can you...
Will KeyBank, if they win, let's say they go after Linda Burgess, who was city clerk, and they win some kind of settlement, is the city going to be held responsible then, since they were employees of the city? Because I'm not sure if ICRIMP will pay that.
That's a determination that they will have to make, and they're reserving their right to go against primarily ICRIMP to seek that recovery because they were employees.
But this contract specifically says Randy Grove and
Linda Burgess.
What I'm afraid of, if we give up our rights to, so they could seek retribution, if they do win it, are we going to be held responsible that since they were city employees at that time?
What I read here is it's against ICRIMP based on the acts of the employees at that time, and they named the employees. So it doesn't say that it would be against those two employees. Am I reading that right?
What they're seeking is the insurance coverage that may be available through ICRIMP, which would be capped at, what they have to decide is it's capped at $500,000, and is it worth going after for the risk? My position, quite frankly, is that Linda and Randy, although didn't dot all the I's and cross the T's, did nothing wrong, and certainly didn't violate the statutory requirements. And so that's something that they're going to have to consider if they decide to go forward. If ICRIMP decides.
I guess as I read that sentence, though, Richard, I'm not sure that they are not looking for satisfaction from both ICRIMP individually and Randall Grove and Linda Burgess collectively.
If I can, I think the way we need to think about it is, if you were going to sue your doctor for malpractice, you wouldn't be suing, I guess you wouldn't have access to their household funds. You would be getting a recovery from whoever holds their malpractice insurance. And so ICRIMP is the exclusive entity that takes responsibility for any negligence that occurred in the scope of the performance of their duties, unless it was intentional or criminal. Yeah. So there's no way that they can recover from the city or from these two individuals in their private capacity. The only entity that they can recover from is ICRIMP because they represent those acts. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. We would entertain a motion then to approve the settlement agreement.
Mayor, I move we approve resolution number RO2-2013, resolution of the City of Kuna authorizing the mayor to execute the settlement agreement with the Key Bank and LAD appellants.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Richard, is that what about number two there? Does that have to be approved separately from number three on the agenda?
I don't know.
Number two is the settlement agreement, and number three is the resolution authorizing payment. Does it have to be two approvals, or does it just need one that we just gave?
Why don't we break those apart? We can do it in the same motion, but I would ask that council amend the motion to make it clear that the council approves the settlement agreement and then authorizing the mayor to sign the settlement agreement through the resolution.
Do you need me to restate it, or can I just say so amended? Okay.
So amended? Okay.
And second still stands.
Second, second approved it after the wording. And so, further discussion? All those in, well, should they be polled?
Yes.
Okay. Linda, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza.
Yes.
Council Member Hoyland.
Yes.
Council Member Buben van der Hart.
Yes.
Council Member Steer.
Yes.
All right. The resolution, the settlement agreement and resolution have been approved, and publication become law.
Thank you.
And that concludes the business of the council. And so I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would move we adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.